Hello and welcome to You Chew in the Back special episode Peacemaker, episode 4, The Chode Less Traveled.
That's right. That's Zach. I'm Richie.
Yes.
And we are on episode 4 of Peacemaker. These
Already
are one of our
crazy
special episodes that we love to
show.
Drop. Again, this is our Peacemaker is our first journey into like a continued series.
Yes.
People asked for it in 2023, so that's what we focused on this year.
Yeah, and they're working on Peacemaker season 2 as we're
doing this.
So hopefully
we're gonna have more of these series out, and
hopefully it'll just
delve
right into
two. It. Yeah,
yep.
That'd be really great. So episode 4, what we're gonna look for here is The Tales of the Tape are this released January 20th, 2022.
Yes. Oh, man.
This is written and directed by James Gunn, which a lot of this, I think the entire series was actually done by James Gunn.
He wrote all of it.
I think he wrote it all.
Yeah,
This one feels very directed by James Gunn. So
I think this one's Jody Hill, but the first three were James Gunn, this one's the first one.
We'll get into it in the show.
Yeah,
there's a
great
lot of like kicks that I love that Jody Hill does.
Yes, wonderful.
But before we do all that, Zach, why don't you take us back in time?
All right, yeah. So if you're watching the show, you know, you may be listening on your iPhone because it's just a couple years ago. Easy on Me by Adele is going to be the song. The number one movie at the time was Scream 5, or just Scream, however you want to call it.
It was kind of like the resurgence, yeah.
Yes, it was, yes. And then history, very interesting. A 19-year-old aviator named Zara Rutherford becomes the youngest woman ever to fly solo around the world.
Exactly. That is, that's a perfect bit of history.
That's right.
Before we get into this,
yes,
we like to do our rating system.
Yes.
Our rating system is tickets we would buy for everybody. This is episodic, but hey, we're going to assume that this is a serial in the theaters.
Exactly.
And we got tickets. So 5 being we're going to bring everybody. It's the greatest episode of all time. And 1 being like, this is still a great episode, but it's just me and Zach.
That's right.
We're going to buy tickets for ourselves. So Zach, what is your rating? How many tickets are you buying for
this episode? For this one, I'd probably go 3.5. I'd probably go high. I think this is better than some of the other episodes, but also may not be for everybody. Like you said, it's very James Gunn, but for somebody who loves it, I love it.
Yes, I think that by the time you're here in the episode, if you didn't like anything upcoming, you're not going to like anything further.
I agree.
But that said, if we're looking at the episode in its singularity form, I'm at a 3. 3 for, I think it's excellent. It carries.
Yes.
I might even lean into a 4 when I add my love for like 80s rock
sure.
and things like that.
Yes, the music drops are great in this
episode.
So
for me personally, it's a 4, but I think if I'm going to grade it on a scale, I'll give it a 3.
Awesome.
I don't know if I mentioned this before, but this is titled The Chode Less Traveled. So
yes.
Why don't we get in the theater and check it out?
All right.
It is important to note real quick that we are going to start with the recap and the theme song. So make sure you're with us as we play along.
Yep, just hit play and just put us on and go with the show here. All right.
Hit play now.
All right, so again, I really do appreciate the recaps. It was a thing, actually, in comics that they didn't do recaps up until about the late 90s, early 2000s, when they put a page, and that became really helpful for people. Sometimes you just need a little bit.
Right, and I think it helps you stay involved, especially comic books that release once a month.
Yes.
It should always have, like, a, hey, remember 30 days ago you read about this concept.
Exactly, and at least the big things.
Yes.
So. And that's why I really enjoy some of the recaps and also to get you settled in and get back into the vibe of it because, this is a hilarious joke. Love that still.
I am now Papa Bear.
Yes. And, Judo Master, a character from the comics we talked about in previous episodes, but in this episode, we're going to delve into, there's even more nods to the comics, which again, Richie and I love, when he does that. Very subtle nods.
The toe is going to be a big theme throughout this episode.
Yes, it will. Very big. And every time I watch this, I just remember that this feels so good and feels right, but it also didn't cost $100 million every episode.
No.
There's no huge superhero battles every episode. It's more, great. Oh, here we go.
Already we start with excellent 80s music blaring.
Wonderful.
James Gunn is known for his record, his needle drops. Yes. And I think that he's the king at it. I don't know if there's anyone that beats him, to be honest.
Exactly. And as of recording, we are 1 year away from his Superman film. That's correct.
Yeah, they just announced that yesterday. You're right. Excellent. We begin with, like, basically the aftermath of everything from the previous episode. There's a lot of kind of realization moments that happen, and that's what this whole episode's going to be about, is kind of recognizing who we are as a team and who we are as characters.
I really felt like this episode...
not necessarily growth, but like self-identifying is happening.
I felt like this was the episode where everybody started to hit their own rock bottoms.
Yeah.
And they needed to find other ways to kick themselves or get themselves up. Love
I agree
that.
With that 100%. That's going to be the theme through here, is it's going to be a lot of us... We, how can you?
Oh yeah, come on!
Do not skip this.
No, you cannot.
Intro.
No,
I always observe this dance.
Exactly.
The brilliance that went into creating this is there's just something special about it.
I mean, I literally watched it this morning when I woke up because I was excited
just
to
do it again.
Yeah. Yes. And I just love
But while they're dancing and this is going on, I'll talk about what I feel like the theme is. Like you were saying, it's a rock bottom, but really, what it is it's a Everybody in the previous episodes have been kind of hiding things from each other.
Yes.
Hiding their, like, true color.
Yes.
And I think that we're going to see everybody's real color. There's still a few people out there that's going to be, our leader's not going to give up anything.
No.
Abadayo's not going to do anything.
Yes, yes. But a lot of the
but
people...
But a lot of them are going to give you their real core.
Yes, exactly.
We're going to get to the bottom of... Cena's character, Peacemaker. We're going to definitely get into Dyebeard, who I love.
Oh, Akamos, yes.
Yes, and I think that you're gonna really see like some of the characters, this is what we're here for.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I felt rewatching this for this podcast, was that this, for the writing, felt like, okay, now we have the basis for what the series is going to be, but now we're going to get
less
into
traveled.
The... Yes, written by James Gunn. Uh-huh. And then directed by Jody Hill,
as you said earlier. Okay.
Yep. And this feels awesome. I just love that they just found some old... building, and that's their set. Like, I just think that...
Again, very different clever. From when they first entered the set. Now we're all kind of recovering. The boss man's going to come in quite upset.
Mern, very... Yes. He's Yeah, I have him here coming in hot.
Yeah, Mern is not... He's just not...
How many days have we had like this? Where you, Richie will know about a day where a certain Batman statue... I almost turned around and did Mern.
It was over. Yes, yes, you did. Just what?
I love it. Mm-hmm. And the actor who plays Mern and also the High Evolutionary in Guardians of the Galaxy, again, I hope that James Gunn puts him in anything and everything. He's so great.
He is it's fantastic. Excellent, yes.
And this is hilarious. I love, because
it's
this
Chuck
is the...
Uwuji is the actor's name.
Yes. I love, because this is the humanity stuff, and this is the real life stuff. We all get caught up in our little weird rituals, but it doesn't really matter, and I love that. That's
there,
and that right there goes.
It's exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's one of the big things. Is there's a fine line between heroism and villainy. Both you're doing something and trying to stop stuff or make actions happen, and it's just. It's very thin, and that's where the fun and the subtleties of comic books and all this stuff come in, is where is that line? When do you cross it? When is it? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Peacemaker's dealing with. Looney!
One of the things that you and I talk about through a lot of films is that we're...
Oh, this is a Legion of Superheroes reference. Legion of Superheroes.
Before we get into that, let's talk about this.
Yes, Matter Eater Lad. The Legion of Superheroes are kind of... they're not super well-known right now unless you're in comic book world, but in the comic book world, they're a team of teenage superheroes from the 31st century, part of the Superman mythos. Really fun.
Matter Eater Lad's first appearance Adventure Comics number 303 in December 1962.
So, and
created
that's
by John Forte and Jerry Siegel.
Great stuff, and I can't believe he's in a, you know, was mentioned. But anyway.
He's referenced.
Yes. I don't think we're going to get Legion anytime soon.
But that actually does lean into kind of what I was going to talk about anyway. And
yes.
It's the brilliance of Cena and James Gunn's refusal to back down from the comic book elements of these episodes. There's a lot of true feelings and emotions that in a let's call it a black ops drama.
Sure.
That would lean into the drama and We do a lot of films that, especially in the early aughts and things like that, were scared of superhero costuming. And
yep, absolutely.
They were worried about, like, pull away from the realism. And James Gunn refuses to do that. And with someone like Cena, he can look ridiculous and still deliver lines with a purity that makes you feel it.
Yes.
And that is something that I've been attached to since I was 12 years old and picked up my first comic book.
Yes.
Is someone with underwear on the outside of their pants saying something very poignant.
Yes.
And very
real.
Real.
Yes.
And it didn't affect that the superhero costume was on and doing something.
Well, and you're right. Now that you say that, I forget. Now that you say that, I don't think, Cena's the only one in a superhero costume, ha ha ha, throughout this entire episode.
Right.
Until you said that, I'm like, he's in his Peacemaker outfit, and they're all in their regular day outfits.
Correct.
Yeah, so that's, and I, yeah, so
but
I love
he's
that.
He's sitting there in a full-blown bright blue, yellow,
right,
red
yep.
Peacemaker emblem.
Yes.
And he's genuinely going through things.
Yeah, and I love that. And again, this is, like you said, kind of that Black Ops, and this is a subversion little joke about Black Ops and all
yes.
that, which I...
Why, you a narc? Yes.
Yeah, I did enjoy that. Because I think that probably this is how people on Black Ops would actually really talk, you know? It's probably not always by the book,
yes.
you know.
The thing I'll actually say that happens in James Gunn's world that I think I'd like to see more in comic books
yes.
is that James pulls them to reality by placing them, surrounding them by people.
Yes.
Who accept that they live in a superheroic world.
Yes.
But they're still just people. And I like that concept. Again,
yes.
excellent Floyd music going on. Great stuff.
And see, and now this, I think, is great because I could be wrong on the filmmaking, but I think that this is a still car.
Yeah.
And I think that everything around is like just the camera that
yes.
they did.
Yeah, probably.
And this whole scene didn't cost anything, but this is a huge part of the relationship between these two characters.
Correct.
And
and that goes to show, like, again, this was all done during 2020.
Yes.
This was the height of COVID. They actually had to shut down for a while, and then they had their bubble, and no one else was allowed in it, and they couldn't go to, like, other places and things like that. So they had a few set pieces, and that was about it. They had to stick with those kind of things.
And I was going to say something when I was watching it earlier, the intro with my wife, we were talking about the same thing, about how the reason why that has that charm is because we knew that they filmed it in lockdown.
Yeah.
But now, a couple years later, if you never tell anybody, you don't know
you don't
that
know. That... You don't notice. You don't feel it yet.
Yes.
When we watched it, we were very aware of it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
But nowadays, you lose track of it. You're absolutely right.
And so that's something that's cool, watching Peacemaker again now, a couple years later.
This whole episode
yes.
is so littered with James Gunn-isms,
yes,
I call
it. Yes, it is.
Where he is giving you a hardcore, like, conversational pieces while slapping you with absolute ridiculous jokes.
At the same time, sometimes.
Literally beat after beat,
yep.
quarter after quarter. No
yep.
one does it like that.
No one does.
And it's
That's that's what makes them special. And like you just said,
I don't know, we were just talking about dads. Like, what?
Yeah. That's why I'm excited for a Superman movie, because no one has really even delved into his supporting cast and made them amazing along with him. Yeah. People have made Superman amazing.
Jimmy, written by James Gunn, is going to be on a level, correct. My friend.
That's what I'm excited, yes. Of course, I want to see what his Superman's going to do. But the heart of everybody around him is going to be perfect, so that's why I'm excited.
And it will be, honestly, it will be the... A lot of people are, like, scared because they don't have the creative... idea to look past something they've already seen.
Yes.
But it's going to have the opposite feel of Peacemaker.
Yes.
It will be flipped on its head.
Yep.
Because Peacemaker is looking at the other angle of the immigrant situation.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And what it is to be raised in America, but in the not good way.
Correct.
And the Superman is going to be the opposite.
Immigrant in America being raised the right way.
Yep.
It's the complete opposite.
You're right. And he's going to have a ton of money, so that even, yes. So, and again, for the comic book fans, for us, Richie and I, a lot of these are going to be helmets and nods to different costumes.
Different eras of Peacemaker, yes.
There's one that you're going to see here that's going to be on his most recent Black Label series that he did, and there's some from the 70s. So, it's not just, let's have the prop guy make some crazy. It's also, and I love how he goes, let's just grab them all.
Well, this shows like, this is, I think, a version of every kid ever kind of looking at his dad's stuff.
Yes.
And being kind of in awe of it. There's a weird feeling that you get when you see your dad's suit hanging and you're like, oh, that was my father. Like when you're 100, older, you know?
Yes. Yep. 100%.
It's really great.
No, you're right. And I love, again, this is the way to use special effects. You know, just have a fun little special effect for the closet, but you don't need to show a crazy thing. Yeah, I love this.
This is, so we just got from like him, what he's trying to do is fight. He says, he's telling, because he is his best friend, like everyone else, they're saying, step away from this man. He's terrible.
Yes.
He's a white supremacist. Get the hell away from him.
Yes.
And it turns into a duck argument because they're not intelligent enough to search their own feelings or be intellectual.
Exactly, because this is how...
They will always devolve into the 14-year-old boys they are.
Correct. Yep.
And great. I love it.
It's great.
It's pitch perfect.
Because that... Oh, and now here, a little piece of trivia for you. James Gunn had to had to fight for this scene because people said, don't you think it's, you know, not cool to put out a product saying something bad about your own character?
Right.
But James Gunn said, but Peacemaker has never met Batman. Right. He only knows what he's seen from, like, the internet or from television.
Yes.
So this is what a person in America... would feel who was like a Peacemaker dude kind of bro about Batman.
And even more so, it's arguable, like, it's important to note that Peacemaker is not necessarily a hero.
No.
And he should be having that conflict, and being compared to Batman is the closest thing that you'd get to going like, no, I'm a hero just like him.
Yes. And so, like, I remember when this came out, this was, like, a big thing.
I'm just trying to start a conversation.
I love...
Yeah, you're a neighbor, all right.
He really is like a neighbor, yes. But I love that because I remember when this episode came out, there was, you know, some people grumbling and talking about that. And then reading up on this episode, James Gunn talked about how he had to talk to the executives about that because, you know, they were like, we don't want to say anything bad about our own stuff. Right. But he's like, but for Peacemaker, you have to understand where these people are coming from. And that's one of the things that's why I think James Gunn is so good and at writing Peacemaker and all the stuff he's done, no matter Marvel or DC, that he understands that if you're going to do this character, then this is how this character views the world, the characters around them, the story, whatever. And it doesn't matter if you as an executive, me as a fan, whatever. Peacemaker is going to say, I don't like Batman. I love Batman. I know Richie's a huge Batman fan. Mm-hmm. So, but saying that Richie should not like Peacemaker because Peacemaker doesn't like Batman, it makes no sense.
Yeah, but that's exactly executive fears that don't actually exist.
Yes.
You know, it's the same. We went through this with the comic book Batman Damned.
Yes.
There was exposure. There was a nude scene in the comic book.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And it lit on fire.
I mean, you could still read up about it. Yeah. It's a big thing, which we...
But it was executives that were... That's so good.
Love that.
It was executives that were like, I can't sell pajamas if you do this. And it's like, no, these characters are multifaceted.
Yes.
And should always be.
There should be things for adults and there should be things for kids.
Take all our money. But I do want ones for kids. I absolutely want to introduce kids to...
Yes.
An innocent-looking Batman and adventures. Nothing too scary, and like that.
And then I also want rated R.
Yeah, but Robert I also Pattinson. Want your teenage angst into your adult complications. Like,
exactly.
You can do it all.
And again, something very easy to film, but the heart of these two characters talking about, again, the dad, they're continuing this on. And,
why not? This is them being real.
And like you said, he's like a socio, so he doesn't know what that... He's like, what? No.
Yeah.
He makes me stuff, all right? I love that.
Like, pretend to be gay.
It's... Yeah.
But this...
But again, this is true. This is how a real leader would... And a black ops leader would try and, you know, handle the situation.
And I guess this is a little bit more realism with our character. Like, because she's not knowing she's not ready for this, you know?
Yes.
Arguably, I'd say that, like, part of me was like, is she, like, lying because she is who she is?
Sure.
Or is it true? She's just trying to, learn how she can be, impress her mom, you know?
Yes.
Which puts her on the exact same path as Peacemaker.
Yep, exactly. This is a fun, and also I think a very, sort of nod to like 70s Kung Fu movies, you know?
Of course.
The Quentin Tarantino, you know? If you've been learning for 20 years some martial art, you can get out of, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't need to know all the...
You don't need to. He's just judo master.
That's he's judo master. He's going to do something here. And now we're going to cut away. And I love that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, and again, this is real. What happens in life sometimes? Sometimes people make mistakes or say wrong things and you want to blow it all up. And, you know, having this sort of a scene where people are like, we messed up, let's talk about this, whether it's Black Ops and your dad or whatever, or if it's something at a party or whatever, this is real. Everyone's had this sort of experience.
The thing I like about this scene is it's doing the important work of separating his father from himself. You know?
Like she feels about Chris and that he's not a bad... Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And it's like... they're both more similar than they think.
Yes.
Peacemaker doesn't have the same mentality as his father.
No.
And again, they haven't explained how or why yet.
Yes.
And when that comes, that'll be a whole different podcast.
Yes,
it will. But,
yes.
But there's a love that both of them want from their parents.
Yes. Exactly. Yes, and...
This is all very true.
This is all very true, and a true friend would say this to somebody else's, and that's why, yes. And so funny.
Then that line is so strong. It's so family,
one,
and it goes...
Yes, it really hits hard.
That's one of the things that... This whole scene is so fire.
This is amazing.
You're not killing it right now. It's so good.
Yes.
Murder.
And he's so... this is Freddie Stroman, I believe, is the... Yes,
he steals every scene he's in.
He's wonderful. And when I first saw it, I didn't know he was British.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's British and he's yelling and doing voices, this guy's amazing. And I hope Vigilante shows up again in more stuff, for sure.
Yeah. Gunn is a big guy on nepotism.
Yes, please have him.
Keep him in everything. He's so good.
I would love to see him in more stuff.
I want
to
see him in anything, great. Everything. You're not killing it right now.
And that look of like, yeah, I know. And then every time we see him, we got to bring him up. The great Robert Patrick.
Absolutely.
The T-1000 from Terminator 2. He's wonderful.
Like, honestly, he is bringing so much dominance to the scenes on this. He's scaring
such a great
me.
Villain. Yeah. Like, he can do anything. I've seen him play good guys, cops, right. All that. But when he gets a villain and he could, like, sink his teeth, T-1000, this.
Well, and again, so what we're seeing here is truly how awful he is to his son and how Peacemaker, like, kind of, it hits him, but it hits him very dully now because he's been dealing with his whole life.
Yes.
So these vicious, just absolutely raw attacks on his person ability and life.
How he thinks. Yep.
It doesn't hit him like it would hit a normal person.
No.
If your father said something to you, you would be devastated. But to him, he's like, that's just dad.
That's what I've heard this all my life.
Yeah. Yes. Like, this is a guy that...
Not in a bad way.
Just hears it. Like, okay, yeah, sure, but I'm not... And again... Super deep, super visceral, hilarious jokes.
Really
all
hilarious.
Mixed in.
Yep. Because.
This James Gunn writing just stirred in the pot.
Yes. I totally agree.
You don't like illegal aliens or real illegal aliens.
And, but again, by the end of this scene here, everyone is going to do what their character, is gonna do. It's, you know, no one's gonna, you know, do something out of character or just for the story, and I love that. James Gunn always makes sure that that is true.
I'm not a rat, but the first chance I get, I'm telling everything I got.
Yeah. That
makes you a rat.
Yes.
Yep, just factually.
Yep. And so you can see that even factually, he can't get anything. He'll never, which is great. Great writing, great acting, and, yeah, and like you said, I didn't even realize that he was sitting in a superhero costume unless you sit there and go, oh.
You blend it, yeah.
And that's why,
Abadayo doing some really good Black Ops work right now.
She thinks she's doing the hard choices. She's trying to become more of a cold-hearted killer, even though it's really...
Mars reaction.
I was gonna say I've.
We'll get to that moment.
Yeah, it's just so good. Yeah, it's. It's.
Also shows
sitting on a bench.
Right. Also shows Vigilante's same as Peacemaker. He's easily manipulated.
Yes.
They do have like the. Intellect, I guess I'd say, as like a 14-year-old, like
yes,
like they're not masterminds. They're good at what they do,
exactly,
but only that.
Yes,
just that,
and that's why when and it was announced James Gunn was going to do the Suicide Squad because he really understands with Guardians with that film. He really understands, I think he can do anything, but he really understands the characters who will get the job done, even if they have to do it limb hanging off, crying, barely hanging on to their sanity, whatever the case may be, but the person who gets the job done, however it's done, you know, he's really good at that, and I love that. Mm-hmm. And again, this is very real, right here. Yeah, when's the last time you heard somebody say, and I'm hoping more of this will be in the Superman film when he's, you know, have you slept? Have you taken a minute to yourself? You know, like, you just saved a planet or something. Like, yes, this is great. Like,
and again, that actually shows that Myrn was correct. Yes. She's saying, it'll be fine, and Peacemaker just goes, oh, okay, I trust you.
Yep.
You didn't just send my best friend in to kill my father. that didn't just happen. Real talk.
Yep, this is real, and this is...
Not the good kind.
Not the good. And as someone who has literally kind of had this conversation over the past couple months and probably years, this is very real. I've been where Peacemaker is, and I've said those things, you know, and so, again, that's very real. He is nuts, and I love it. That's what I have in my notes. Freddie Stroman yes. here.
Yeah, he's absolutely bonkers.
They're all having their lunch.
I don't have to answer that.
And I remember watching this the first time the night it premiered, and I just started laughing the instant they cut, because I knew exactly, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to, because even the guards, because in real life, this is probably what would happen. Yeah, they'd be all like,
they'd be like, what is he doing?
Yeah. No, you know, he's not doing anything wrong yet. He's just,
just very moving awkward.
Some stuff. Yeah. the real humor there. But as the audience knows, he has it in his head that he wants to go into prison, and what's the easiest way to get into a prison?
Just bash something?
Exactly. Oh, so good.
Just watch my pinky.
And they're all like, what? We're just having lunch. But, and this I thought was, we'll get into it towards the end of the episode, but everyone is trying to grasp at their last, like you said, who they were before.
Right.
Who they were.
They're trying to hide it. Like, even here.
Yes.
He was trying to be a badass. Yes. Thinking he was a badass the whole time.
And he's not.
Yes. And he needs to know that first.
And Peacemaker thought that he could become a killer and take on the entire world and become the... Yeah.
And he can't.
Yep.
Abadios thought she could be Black Ops and do the right thing. Can't do it.
Yep. Like, Hardcore probably is, I could, you know, handle and steer all these people, and now I have crazy... yeah. So all that... Great, again, not a lot of action, but that was an action sequence.
Right.
But it's rooted in character, so that's why we care when he got hit in the face. Yeah,
he's about to be a rat, he knows her name.
And I love, too, that the other guard, I love, because in real life, they're like, cool, get to it. Like,
yeah, it's, yeah, whenever.
You know, it's not part of the story.
As an asthmatic, I feel this.
I thought about you, too.
Like, come on, give him his inhaler,
I was like, is he going to be okay?
Quit asking him questions.
Yeah. And I had written in here, this is another reason why I love James Gunn, because with James Gunn, when it needs to turn up to 100% like this, it's here, let's do it. Like, okay, now the superhero's on, and it's going to be awesome, it's going to be metal, and let's do it.
But
even in a TV show.
The showdown trash bag instead of tumbleweed.
Yes. And the music. Picture perfect. Yes, and it's in like some worn down old, yeah.
It's just a parking lot.
Yes.
But that's the tie down. This is the James Gunn realism concept.
Yes.
Like in a blockbuster movie in Superman, this will be in a huge, epic landscape concept. In Peacemaker, he brings it way down to the parking lot of a, you know.
And even that little, that was hilarious. Yeah. And what Gino Master says here in a little bit with his weird jelly body.
I bet you Cena wrote that line. I'm sure he added that. Like,
so fun. It's, Oh,
so good.
And again, this is a great fight because we know, and it also checks the box of this feels very comic booky. This feels what we talk, this feels like 100% comic book because in almost a classic comic book, you have the hero and the villain have a fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And he made it interesting, funny.
Holy shit, funny.
I love that. And again, having someone like John Cena who is in that wrestling world, he is a perfect actor for that because this just feels so comic booky to me.
Yeah.
But when you see it, you go, these are just guys fighting in a parking lot.
Yes.
But when you care about the characters, you care about the world.
Here we go again. They are...
And...
Again, people trying to do what they... They're hiding who they are.
Overextending. Yep. And, great
serious moment. We're yep. focusing on the death, and again, Gunn is going to hit you with just slapstick humor.
Yes.
Peacemaker's
only yes, concern. Exactly. And because James Gunn knew that he was writing a, you know, a superhero fight.
Yeah.
That was the undertone of what was happening. I love the, I was going to reclaim my armor.
Yeah.
Like, that's great.
Oh, you still have it.
Yeah.
That's never happened.
Yeah, it's... Oh, it's hilarious. That's right. And you know this is something probably he's heard back in, you know, back yeah. in the wrestling days. Somebody, no, never.
One or two times.
No. Yes. Yes, and now... And I love that because we as the audience were going, oh, but...
Jawbreaker, but yep. Cool Intentions hitting now.
Yeah, very... Oh, the needle drops. And now we see, oh, here's Vigilante. He's now in the prison.
After this scene, when I first watched it...
Yes, it's... He is amazing. The... good old Eagly. And I love... oh, great shot here. Slow-mo. You know, people say that, you know, it's been overdone and you can't do slow-mo, but when you do it when it's great and it's written like this...
I think it's required in comic book film.
Yes.
You need slow-mo because comic books are still.
Yes, exactly.
Like, give me slow-mo and focus on
and something. When I care and I go, oh, what's going to happen with Vigilante going into prison, this is a point when that's good to do.
Yes. Here's the big reveal. Peacemaker did not kill the butterfly.
No, but... didn't we kind of all know that?
Yeah.
Because we know Peacemaker, you know? And I like that. That's one of the things I really do like about James Gunn, is that sometimes he goes twist, twist, untwist. So he'll take something back, or he'll bring you like that, you know?
Yes.
So, I really like that. It's great music here. And this is a great scene. This was the scene, like you said, that we're going to get up to. That I went, okay, this guy needs to be in any James Gunn thing.
Anything. Give me anything.
Yes.
Because he can portray so much. Vigilante gets him time to chew and play, but you can see that he can be serious, he can do anything.
As two people here who have pets, how many times have we had pets?
Yeah, just... Hey.
Exactly. Yep, and now some more character work. And the thing that I noticed watching it this time for the podcast was James Gunn tried to make some of the characters who hadn't had scenes or hadn't had moments together have scenes or moments or, you know, interactions and stuff.
Yeah, Harcourt's actually kind of missing in this episode. Like,
yeah,
but it makes sense because a lot of people are kind of showing their core, and Harcourt's core is very isolated.
Yes, yes.
Like, the walls on her are thick.
Exactly. Yes. And, but again, I love this. Two people talking in a room. It doesn't require a lot of money. And I know that if you've been listening to the other ones, that's why I loved, because this show wasn't just when this was announced, people said, why do we need a Peacemaker show? Because we hadn't even seen the Suicide Squad yet. But then with the pandemic, and it wasn't going to be a $100 million show, and everyone's like, wow, how is this going to be anywhere interesting or, you know, competing with Marvel or anything? And then we came out, and the writing, the acting, and all that is amazing. And so that's what I love about it, is that you don't need to have an action sequence every 10 minutes.
Mm-mm.
Peacemaker. Oh.
As a so manager... Good.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes.
Every time I turn around.
I was going to say, Rich, you probably said that this week at the comic book store.
Yes. Why?
I love how everyone just starts attacking him, which is...
I didn't mention this, but I wanted to bring it up because this is the episode that we kind of feature it. White Dragon, the character, is more of like a idea. White Dragon is obviously synonymous with the highest power of Supreme.
Sure.
White supremacy.
Yes.
But he is a character that has been featured a couple times in different. The two biggest ones were Hawkman and Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay.
The first appearance of John Ostrander.
Okay.
Oh, the White Dragon was Hawkworld Volume 2, number 27 in 1992.
Very nice, and then, all right.
Heller was created by John Ostrander and Luke McDonnell, first appearing in Suicide Squad number 4 in 1987.
Okay.
So that's where that character kind of gets pulled from. It's easy to make them the villain, and sure. They should be.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, well, yeah. And I love that they pulled a, you know, very minor kind of villain that no one's really heard of, but they gave it the real, you know, they made the suits, you know, that's the things. That, they made Peacemaker's suit look great. They made his suit look great. Yes. They made Vigilante's suit look great. You don't need to spend $100 million on a set. You just need to make the things that matter, the writing, the acting. Right. And then you can have this, whatever this is, an old bookstore, an old whatever this was.
Well, yeah. And his father is a great character in the aspect of it's a real villain.
Yes. And but that also, we can identify
but,
with.
But
yes.
A real villain that exists in our yes, world.
Yes,
in our view. World,
yes.
And what makes a great villain? Well, that's easy. It's someone that truly believes in their cause.
Yes.
And the one thing that Peacemaker, and he said this earlier, that he agrees with his son, is that... They hate crime.
Yes.
That's the one thing that they
can
agree
on.
But their version of crime, their idea of what crime is quite different. You know,
yes.
for the White Dragon, crime is simply being a color.
Yep,
Invasion that doesn't exist.
Yep.
Here we go. Man.
This and for anybody, and as Richard was saying, anyone who's ever watched any movies or television programs with, like, white supremacists, this is the scene that we've always wanted to see somebody sit down.
Oh, my God, yeah. But think about like, what you thought first when you watched this the first time. You're like, oh, my God, he's going to get killed.
Yes, but...
Let's...
American culture. It's so good. And I...
No!
It's so good. Yep, and honestly, yes. This is true. Everything he's talking about here is true.
I am thankful for that.
Yes, and I am thankful. But this is, you know, I just felt like you said, when I first saw this, I felt like this is something I've always wanted to do whenever I watch the great mini movies or television programs where they've had, you know. That's awesome. It's like so, he's so good. Oh, cool. It's so good. and how cool, and instantly we're into the action, we know he's capable, but also...
I did not see this coming.
Yes, yeah.
I just...
yeah, is it... Yeah, well, yeah, he's a little... It's great, yeah. And Robert Patrick being the smarter one.
Yes.
And so... And again, I love this. This scene didn't end the way that I expected it to, but I...
Right.
And that is a callback to the previous episode where that guy was treated badly. And again, it's all coming back, or they all have little nuances in the world of James Gunn, and that's just... Yeah.
And Vigilante here has been manipulated, but at the core, he just wants to help his friend.
He just wants to help, and he feels lonely, yes. And now this, like you said, I find this very interesting. Harcourt needs to go out in public to pretend to feel like she's part of the world.
Right, to be part of this. That's who she is. And everyone else is kind of like
yeah.
breaking down, and this is the closest we get to Harcourt breaking down.
Yes.
But it's still very distant.
Very
still
distant. Everyone else is breaking her out, yes.
Yes. Yes.
And again, I like this a lot. This is two characters talking about this. What's worrying Peacemaker, Chris, and also setting up a little bit of his backstory into what we'll find out towards the end here. So, very well done, very subtle, and very good.
Yes.
Yep, right here.
Again, and another...
Like, yeah.
He was like, oh, nobody can know about that.
Yeah, that, yeah, yep. The things that we don't want to, yeah. That's right, there you go. Yep.
Excellent growth.
Yep, and he's,
House of Pain? Faster Pussycat.
That's awesome. You could just see, and that's great acting from John Cena there. He was hoping for, but then you could see that she's not, emotionally available to anyone, to anything.
Hardcore is going to stay who she is, which is a giant fortress.
Yep. Yep, exactly. But again, that's the subtleties and the good. Yeah. Uh-huh. And here we go. The wind down. Everyone has to do the wind down.
Yes.
Put on the music.
Again, talk about just absolute reveal after reveal after reveal, but like...
Yes. And... again, humor, funny, but also real. Like, yeah. Like he's like, hey, and as someone who's gone through Dark Nights of the Soul, this is basically what you do. You listen to music, you watch movies, and you relive it in your head.
This is what you do during House of Pain.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
And but again, for filmmaking, I love how this is also a subtle segue into a montage for the end of the film and how everyone is. Because they're all doing the same sort of thing that Peacemaker is.
Yeah, get him out of there.
Yep, and I like this too because when I first saw this show, I thought, oh, is this going to be a bigger part of the season, him in jail?
Yeah.
But no, it's resolved all in the same episode. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just resolved because we needed it to, because that's convenient. Harcourt here in a second did it because she's trying to connect Subway somehow, somewhere.
Yes, anyway, yeah.
Yes.
She wants humanity.
Yes. And so she's, you know, and in her head, she went vigilante where doing that was...
Amadeo is losing humanity
here. Yes.
It's just funny.
She's making the hard choices, but she's now making the wrong ones.
Right. Where Harcourt's desperately trying, she's actually pushing away.
Yes. And I love that. And you don't need a lot of dialogue in the... See, no. Now something's off. Yeah. You could tell that there's Lethal Weapon 4. That was my first Lethal Weapon movie. Love that film.
Really? But Lethal Weapon 4 is your first?
Yes. Yes.
Nice. Yeah. That shows our gap. That shows our gap.
Yep. So love that. Yep. And then you go, oh, it's her. It's Harcourt. And the thing I loved in this episode, you find out that the two people who connected the most is Crazy Vigilante and Harcourt.
Yeah.
Because they both know that they don't understand humanity.
Yeah, or they don't have those, they want those emotions, but...
Yes. And I love his acting, Freddie Stroman here, because this is his moment. He's trying to do something, he's trying all the time, but he's failing. And he doesn't... Yeah. And that's... Oh, so good.
Look at him break, like...
Yep.
You just don't get to see that.
Nope. And that's the... Yeah, and this... For Vigilante. For a character, for Vigilante. Yeah, just like... It's great.
Just can't get away from the James Gunn of it all here.
No. Now we get to see the start of some of the backstory.
Yeah.
Very brutal. Now we get to see why we should hate him more, because now we're getting into... I mean, we've met him in the previous episodes, but now we get to see...
Just slight. And this is just the scratch of the surface
of
the true... But, like, for those that, again, comparison to Batman, Batman gets this choice in Batman Begins, where they're like, this guy's stole goats.
Yeah.
He needs to be killed.
Killed.
This is a criminal, and... Dad is showing him to...
Yep, and he's... Oh, and love this tie-in right here.
Yes. What a joke. So good.
Yep, and when this happened in the movie, I knew and I felt it. I said, this... If he brings this up again in the show, it's going to be brilliant. And when he did, I just went, okay. Yeah, and all of his animals are cut... Yeah, covered. And he's listening to the music, and he's reliving the pain.
Yeah, he can't...
Oh, yeah. It's...
Almost gets me even now.
Like, yep. And, yeah, now he's reliving all of it. We're going to find out in the later...
just glimpses of something later. Yeah, just glimpses.
Oh, but brutal.
Yeah.
Yep. And anyone who's had a long soul of the night probably ended up like that. So, again, very real. Now we get into the last little bit of the episode.
This is what happens in episodes. It's a handoff. So you're going to... That was the conclusion, really, and now we're moving into...
and now we're setting up the next one, which... But again, love that this is a great... and James Gunn knows that if he's going to do a Black Ops spy show, we got to have something that finally clicks into place, some sort of clue, some sort of... Which and is, that's what we're going to get.
What I love about it is, like, that is a true comic book story where there's something huge going on.
Yes.
If you want to make a really great comic book, it doesn't need to be just the huge thing. Like, this could be the biggest part of this show, and I think it'd be flat.
Yeah.
Really what it is all the people going through it. That's the real story. Yes. There just happens to be this giant other story. Intergalactic story going on. Absolutely.
And now here we go. Myrn. Yep. Okay, so what's going on here? We're going to pull
Everybody
out.
Everybody has been showing the core of their people.
Yep. And now we get to see the core
of Myrn.
And we find out that he has been a butterfly. He's been a butterfly this whole time. Great.
Another needle drop.
Yes. Love it. Absolutely love it. And there we go. And then I'm just going to really quickly go to our... And this, I was going to say, as we go to our bloopers here.
Yes.
Does this remind you... Of now we're at the bloopers. Does this remind you of like the 90s where they used to have like Jackie Chan bloopers and stuff at the end?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. This reminds me a lot of like, because James Gunn does this as well as Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Where they let them kind of go.
Yes.
And then they cut it to see what they do.
Yeah. So I love that that's kind of harkening back to those sorts.
Yeah. And that's what this what reminds
it's,
me.
And it's not really a post credit scene. It's more of a post blooper scene.
Yes, correct.
And this is just ridiculous and funny, so I just had to,
Like, what Gunn is saying is, like, I would have taken this further if I had time.
Yes.
That's what he said.
That's exactly right.
Like, even I understand the limit of my joke, but, man, if it were just me, if I was making this film for just me, that would have been the episode.
Exactly.
Trying to get this duck in a human costume.
What
does it mean?
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, episode four. Love that show. Can't believe we're, like, halfway through the season already.
Yep.
And I can't wait for season two, so I mean, I'm excited to
continue. It is good. We typically talk about comic book accuracy around this time. It's tough to do that with an episodic concept, so we'll just talk about feel. Like, is this feel like Peacemaker?
Absolutely, yeah.
The thing about Peacemaker is he's a Charlton comic book from a forgotten age with a forgotten storytelling style.
Yes.
And I think that the beauty in here is it gives him importance and brings that character back from the dead,
into today's world.
And James Gunn gets the opportunity to kind of redefine who that character is.
Absolutely.
With that as the case, I would say that we've never lost the true ideal of Peacemaker.
No.
Which is an overzealous idea of justice.
Yes.
And I think that what James Gunn has done is bled him into a new, unique style. So, as I'll say with everything, perfect. I love it.
I think it's great. Yeah, no, I think that I don't think that this character of Peacemaker, even before a couple years ago, anybody would say he would be one of the best written other media characters ever. I would have said that would be crazy. But as of a movie and one season so far... He is a fantastic adaptation in today's
world.
He's
becoming a stepping stone for just Suicide Squad, just like Harley Quinn or something like
that.
And he was a forgotten name not 10 years ago.
Yes, exactly. Love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, that was great, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. We hope you enjoyed it. We got to get to the cars.
Absolutely.
And we will head out, but we will catch you next time.
Yep.
See you then.
All right. Peace.